language here. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Oh, my. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. What a place of vulnerability. What a place of remaining unprotected. When I say that, I mean in the sense of looking out for your own, yourself, me first. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Do unto others that you would have them to do unto you. Do you know what that bumps up against? Natural response. Watch. What's the natural response? What's the natural response? Yeah, I know you're in church. The natural response, you're in a crowd and somebody pushes. What are you? That's the natural response. Tit for tat, my mama would say. And so these words fly in the face of that natural response. They hit me. I'm going to hit them back. They said something evil of me. I'm going to say something evil of them. I'm going to give them what they deserve. Oh, my goodness. This is so in the face of that. That naturally, I can't respond. I have to respond in what I know to do right. I'm going to do to them what I would wish of them to do to me. And let this be the governing point in my lifestyle. I think a person has to grow into that. I mean, even when you first learn of it, you know, you've become a born-again Christian and you begin to read the Bible and somebody has ministered this to you. Well, let me read to you. This is what the Bible says. This is how Jesus wants you to do. And so you read that and you analyze that and you think, well, thank God at this moment that I'm not in a situation. Because everything that in me flies in the face of that and speaks like, that isn't even reality. Who does that anyway? And you have all this rationale that goes through your mind that says, well, that's in other cases. That's an extreme situation. He was only making a point. You can't imagine the smiles that are coming across this group right now. One that says, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I got a situation. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. So I'm standing in my living room this morning. I'm looking out at the cul-de-sac. I kind of like Fernando, lives over there. Nice guy, military guy, moved in with his family recently from the East Coast. Next door neighbor, another pastor, his wife. Nice people. We get along and we communicate a little bit, more so in the last couple months. Oh yeah, that guy, he moved in and he's doing all this work, and we've talked and we've versed, and I like him, and it's all right. Then there's Brenda and her husband, Larry, retired couple, nice. I went over and tried to help shovel some of their bark, and and we just always have friendly conversations. Her and I cleaned up a little bit in a cul-de-sac once. I took stuff to the dump, and nice people. Then there's the family right next door. I love them to death. This couple, they work for the Catholic Church out by the golf course in some form. I don't know exactly what it all that they do. They're nice people, but he did pay me an awful high compliment one time. There was a branch growing across the fence and into their chimney from one of our trees. And so he brought it up. I hadn't even noticed. He said, I was just kind of worried that maybe it might start a fire or something. And so I called a guy, paid him $1,000 to come and cut down some trees. And I asked him, I said, what about that tree over there? It's hanging over your fence. Does that bother you? Do you want me to get that one cut down? He said, let me talk to my wife. I said, okay. Somewhere in the dialogue, he makes this statement. He said, you've been a good neighbor. He didn't say, man, you're a great Christian. He said, man, you're not a great example of an apostolic. You're not an example of a pastor. He said to me, you're a good neighbor. I can't tell you how that made me feel. I like those people. Now, there's a house over here off to my left. They have drunken parties. End of the night. They're threatening to kill each other. They're calling the cops. We're calling the cops. Keep somebody from getting killed. When we went and trimmed the bushes in the cul-de-sac, me and the retired lady across the street, I took the greens to the dump. He came racing up in his monster truck that night, shined the light on the bushes, got out there with a camera and took a picture. He was going to file a suit. We trimmed his bushes. I thought they were my bushes. They was on the overside of the fence on my side. He's convinced it's his property. Well, anyway. Shady character. Short guy. Little guy. What did you say that was, Miku? Oh, a little man complex. He had one. I don't appreciate it too much. So anyway, I'm standing there and I'm thinking, let's see, I took cherries to them. I left some on the porch there. I took some over there. I took some over there. I took some over there. I'm feeling pretty good today. I really want the love of God to be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I boxed me up a package of cherries. And I stepped out the door and into the cul-de-sac, and lo and behold, him and his son in the dreadlocks was on the porch. I said, hey, I'm coming over. I got cherries for you. He probably thought I was going to throw a rock or something. And so I walked all the way around, didn't cut across his lawn, freshly mowed, stood there at the door. Gave him cherries. Had a nice visit. And when I got home, I was just thankful. I was thankful I was not letting his behavior deter me from being who and what I should be as unto the Lord. I've watched others do it, but I look at my own life sometimes and think, oh, I don't know if I could do that. you know, we want to give them what they deserve. What'd you deserve? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's his attitude. While we're at our lowest low, he blessed us. He brought salvation to us. He gave something to us we couldn't even get for ourselves. You know, we live in a world of trying to achieve and gain and get gain, all in the matter of self. And we couldn't do that. He said, let me give you a box of cherries. Let me do something for you. Let me love you. Let me bless your life. Does it take getting older to begin to think this way? I think not. I hope not. But I have to question myself sometimes. Are you just getting this way because you're getting older? Is it taking this long for the Word of God to get through to you? Don't wait. Okay. Verse 33, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Now, some people, when they go to a yard sale, they want to see just how much they can torture the yard saler to get that item that was worth $100. They're asking $10. But you only want to give them 50 cents. And you're pretty proud when you get back in your car having loaded that baby in your trunk. Right? Aren't you proud? So we go through life always seeking to get the better in the deal. I was out to dinner with my sister and her family in Maryland some years ago. And we were all talking around the table, and they brought the check to me. And so I quickly just glanced at the check because I was in the middle of a conversation. I was telling a story. And I glanced down at the amount, and so the easiest thing that I could do was look and glance and compute 10% and put a 10% tip on there. I hand it back to him and finish my story. Well, the young man comes out to the table and he says, you know, I could have just taken 15%. Huh? Yeah, I could have just taken 15%. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this guy is saying this to me right here in front of all my family. What's his problem? And so I sign the check, I hand it back to him, try to catch my breath. My family's all looking at me. So I let my family leave the restaurant first. I'd like to speak to manager, please. Sir, this young man right here came out in front of my family, and I gave him the whole deal. You know, he did this. You did that? You can't do that. Okay, I feel better. So I walk out. The next time I sit down to a meal in a restaurant and they bring the check, I think to myself, I'm not living on this side. I'm going to live on this side. So if I tally up 15%, I'm giving 20%. And I'm going to get up from my chair knowing I did not just what was asked of me, but I did more. I would far rather live my life on the side of given it shall be given to you. Bless others. Give to others. I'm going to live on that side rather on, well, what is, give me a, who's got a calculator? It's, you know, it's an odd number. I can't figure it out. You got a calculator? What's 10% times or what's 15% times? You know, where do you live your life? I'm asking. Is it to see what you can get away with not letting go of? Or is it to freely let go? That he can continue to source through you. You know, when he said, look, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You never come to fully know the meaning of that until you begin living your life that way. Listen, I believe in frugalness to a degree. I believe in stewardship wholeheartedly. But you can't leave out the rest of the scripture that teaches the principle of sharing and giving of you, of yourself. It changes your whole world. I had the thought this morning, you know, there's a line of obligation. And that's what I was talking about, the tipping thing. I can live my life meeting the obligation. That's like living by the law. But the minute I reach up to 15% tip and step out beyond that, you know what I believe happens? It invokes something. It invokes the touch of God. It invokes the promises of God. He begins to touch things in my life in areas that I can't even imagine. And it's only because I decided I'm not going to live on that side of the line. I'm going to live on this side of the line. And so where I can, I'm going to go the second mile. I'm going to give him my coat also. I'm going to live in such a way that I'm always giving, not always taking. Looking for areas to give. Not looking for areas to receive. Okay, let's forget about the jacket. Pray with me. In the name of Jesus, you loved the world. You so love the world that you gave. And you gave, and you've never stopped giving, Lord, is an example to us. And you have promised unto us, give, and pressed down, shaken together, shall other men give unto your bosom. And you will live in a process of life that is blessing, that is rich, that is full. You've heard people say, you know, their car just got broke into. Their something got stole. And I think it's a mature statement I've heard others make. I haven't made it yet. Well, they needed it more than I did, apparently. I had $4,000 worth of stuff stolen out of my car one time. Twice. I never did make that statement. He's still working on me. Pray for me. But I think what I would like to do at times is if I could know who ripped me off. And them not know that I knew. And come to them and just give to them. That's the place I want to live. That's the place in God I wish and I desire to live. That I come to the realization that the possessions that I have, I do not own. The possessions that I have, I do not own. You know, I got more scripture here, but I think we've gotten to the point. Why don't you stand? I speak to you today out of the love of a pastor. I think that you know me, and I am not a tyrant, and I'm not out to begrudge people from some desired experience. But the scripture talks about obeying those who have watch for your soul. That means somebody has a responsibility and a watch given to them. That term that we have chosen to use, bishop, meaning overseer. One writer said about teaching them of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. That's where that term bishop comes from. Okay, but we use them interchangeably, bishop, pastor, shepherd. It's a shepherd relationship of watching and caring. I don't have the wisdom I have wisdom as a man. I'm not stupid, in other words. But I have great limitations in that. I don't know how to advise some people in their situations. I pray and I wait on the Lord, and if God gives something to me, then I'll give it, I'll share it. But I look to Him who is my counselor. He wants to lead us and He wants to guide us in our daily lives, on our job, in our home, in family relationships, in your community relationships. He made witnesses of us. When He filled us with the Holy Ghost, we are witnesses of Him. Amen. And He has given us, He gave us to the community that we live in. The barrier that you and I have to break is pulling the car into the garage and going inside and never come into contact with the community that we live in. It's a barrier. We got to break it. You have to choose to break it. Go cut your neighbor's lawn. Brother Johnstone, I'm going to turn this to you.
Will you talk to the Lord for a few moments today from the place?